This is called Sunday Morning with the Elohim. Anybody else want to add anything? Feel free. Every time you hear a ding, that's another person calling in to the show. So we welcome all of those who have already called in.
Well, it's a bright sunny day here in Austin, Texas. The temperature is 60 degrees and it's beautiful, and I'm sending all that good weather out your way.
Thanks, Roger. The temperatures today have been pretty good. Is that Wynn? Hi, Wynn.
I'm back.
Welcome.
And BBS should be on momentarily.
Well, they started, and then we had a slight interruption. Then they restarted. So I think we might be on.
Okay. So, what are you guys talking about?
Well, we were talking about the healthcare system and mm-hmm. how it's really good to have the choice to have private healthcare, but also to have a national healthcare system, because the national healthcare system, the surgeons, if you need specialist surgery, because of their have treated millions of people, they're mm-hmm. often a lot more experienced, and they're actually in the UK. They're better than the private, I shouldn't say always, but I can say in quite a lot of the cases that I've been told that they are actually better because they've done more surgeries. So you would go to an NHS person if you wanted to have major surgery.
Now, you're talking about it's absolutely no charge to the patient, right?
No, there's no charge at all. So if you have something serious, like cancer or anything like that, you don't have to have huge extortionate healthcare insurance
mm-hmm.
because everybody in the country pays towards the system, and it is very, very good. I would recommend it because you have the best of both worlds. You can use the NHS system, or if you wanted to, you could use also the private system.
We should all move to England, huh?
Apart from England is an island. And
how about the other Commonwealth countries, like New Zealand or Australia?
When you say, can you explain a bit more?
I mean, do they have free health care?
Yes, I believe they do, because they follow have a similar setup to the UK, mm-hmm. and so does Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, all the European countries.
They all have
and probably,
care.
And probably Russia has the same system.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems
and
like
I think
a good system.
I think it is, and it seems to work well. But then that's, you know, part of the reason why me personally, I don't mind tax. And I know some people don't like paying taxes, but you have to think about whether you want a society, a country that works because your money goes to paying for, it's meant to go to paying towards things that benefit the whole country. So things like parks and park equipment for children, local places for children to go to. Everything comes under, is paid out of your taxes. And the NHS, which is the local hospitals, they're also, it comes out of your taxes, so you pay. And then, of course, everybody in the country benefits.
Does the English people believe in reincarnation in general?
I believe so, yes. Yes, because we're more, I think we're more liberal mm-hmm. over here. Whereas the US, you have quite a large percentage of the population are still, well, they're very religious, whereas we're slightly more liberal, and they have very strong religious beliefs, and quite a lot of, I mean, from what I've seen, they tend to be quite rigid to a degree, which can be good, but it can also, you know, be not good.
Because religion does not endorse reincarnation.
That's correct.
They tend not to go along with it, right?
Yes, that's correct. And it's a very touchy subject, because with religion, you have your doctrine set out. And if you try to change it in any way, it can have a negative impact. So mm-hmm. I think if you have a strict belief system, which is a religious belief system, you're better off sticking with that belief system, because interfering with it, it can cause quite a lot of problems. And I think that's one of the difficulties. I think if you believe and you have that sort of ideology, then best to stick to it.
Well, England has the Church of England, right? What's it called?
Yes.
I mean, it has its own religious system.
Yes. It's not as rigid. The people aren't as rigid over here with the belief. They're sort of more liberal. So they mm-hmm. will, they find it easier to, you know, be open to, you know, new ideas.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I think it's because the people in the UK are much more accepting and much more willing to work together as a whole country to benefit everybody, which is why mm-hmm. people over here don't mind paying taxes as much. I don't want to speak for everyone, but on the whole. And also the taxes go to supporting a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so your taxes, the things you're paying, are actually having a big impact on the rest of the country in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what I've noticed from the US, from my talking to a lot of people in the US, you're very much the opposite way. You're very independent. You rather survive on your own and do things on your own for your own families. You're not so much willing to share things as a country in terms of everyone benefits if you all put stuff into the same pot and everyone benefits, but you tend to be more independent, I would say.
Mm-hmm. In other words, people create their own nest eggs and they don't share it so easily.
Well, they might share it with their friends and family, but they're not willing to share it as in you all look after each other as a country, which I would love to see in the US. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys would probably call it communism. And it's all very touchy subjects. But, you know, the US started because people from the European countries went to the US and they built their life there from nothing. So I guess that's where the independence comes in. Needing to survive without the help from anyone.
I think one of the themes of the revolution was no taxation without representation.
Yes.
The American Revolution. In other words, the idea was taxes were supposed to be used for the common good.
Yes. Yes, that's always the idea behind taxes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the US should have had their own tax system free of England because you set up your own colonies in the US, so you shouldn't have had to have paid anything back to England. You should have had your own system separate from, you know, the Brit from the UK.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people say that the US was set up more according to the law of one, to the scene of the Rogue. What do you think about that?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Because if your brothers and sisters in your country, your fellow human beings, if they will be struggling and some of them might be on the streets, and it's the same thing, I guess, over here in the UK, you have to think about, you can't think about yourself as an individual. You have to think about yourself as a whole country of individuals. And I think that's more the law of one. If you're doing something that benefits other people, so if you're paying in money for the benefit of others and also for the benefit of yourself, because you could be a person that ends up in difficulty. So if you're paying money towards a system and the society as a whole, the benefit of the society, that to me is the law of one. But if you're very independent, and you're only looking out for yourself and your family, not thinking about yourself as a country, I don't think that's the law of one.
You know, if you quote the Declaration of Independence, You have things like all men are created equal.
Created equal, yes. Because it's very independent. It's very much survival of the fittest. Whereas we're more, you know, survival of the whole country is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, I guess, well, we have a lot less racism, for example. Not that I want to bring up these subjects, but these very controversial subjects. But we do. We always have done. And I know that from past history, because a lot of the Black American musicians who were really struggling in the US came to the UK. And I know this because my auntie, who recently crossed over, she was very fortunate to meet a lot of the Black American musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And they had great success over here. They were just, we thought they were wonderful. And so that there's a history there that goes back. And I hope that no matter what a country is made up of, no matter what race, religion, and of course you've got your beautiful Native American Indians, I hope that you all come together, the Mexicans, the Spanish, all of the different cultures in the US, I hope you all come together, the Black African Americans, the West Indians, you probably have Irish over there in the US. You know, you have a great big mix, and I hope you all come together and support each other, because it's the people coming together and supporting each other that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's usually we don't have discussions like this, but being that you're a Brit, it kind of brings it up, because I've had discussions with people in our group that believe that the whole idea of the independence of this country was based on the principles of the law of one. And breaking away from the British, who were controlling the country like it was their territory. Isn't that true?
I think it is true, but I think,
yeah.
I think that people from the UK, as well as France, as well as the other parts of the European countries, went over to the US. They went over to explore it. I think it was Christopher Columbus that sailed across and first founded the US. But the British, as well as the rest of the Europeans, all went over. So you guys, you're all coming from Europe. There's no such thing as an American. All of your ancestral blood is actually coming from Europe. All over Europe.
Well, I think we should open up some lights.
When you look at it,
and let some of the other people on the call give
yes.
their opinions. Okay?
Yes. Yes. Good idea.
And I don't know if they're unmuted or not right now. Let's see. Where's the unmute?
I like brown music.
Would you like to say your name and your city?
John from Las Vegas.
You're not listening, are you? Are you listening, John?
Am I what?
You're not listening to the call.
I was on the phone with my Bitdefender customer support because there was problems with it. My antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back on now.
All right. I got to unmute everybody for a moment. Just a moment.
All participants are unmuted.
All right. Who wants to give an opinion on this discussion we're having?
What's it about?
Well, I'm not going to go through it again, okay?
You have
to come on time.
I had a problem with my Bitdefender. So that's
okay. The basic issue is, we're talking about England and the United States and how England has free health care and uses their taxation to create benefit for the people, and that their free health care is theoretically better than the paid health care. And was this country founded more in line with the law of one than England or European countries? Okay. That was just a general topic. And I know there are people that believe that Philadelphia was definitely as the first major city in this country, was definitely under the auspices, according to many people, of the law of one. And that the original founders of the country had a very strong affiliation with the principles of the law of one. So I was just opening the mics up to get other people's opinions about this particular topic.
Yeah, I think we should be using med beds.
Well, that's a different topic, okay?
Well, no, it's the same topic. You won't have any more ridiculous costs anymore for healthcare. You won't need doctors anymore, except for emergency operations or something.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, no one has proven that med beds actually exist.
Oh my God!
Well, I believe they do.
Yeah, but I need proof that they exist if we're going to have a reasonable discussion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a wonderful idea of a product that I hope it exists for the benefit of humans, but on what grounds...
It would mean that all doctors, most doctors would have no need for them. Other than for emergency surgery.
Yeah, but we don't know that they exist, okay? I don't know that they exist.
Well, what,
so this is Roger. I'd like to put my two cents in here. The medical establishment, quote unquote, has no interest in finding cures for systemic physical problems. Once you find a cure for something, then they're out of business, the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in finding
a treatment. That's true. That's 100% true.
That will continue forever, because that's where they, that's their source of wealth. Now, where the medical community excels in this country is in trauma. That's where there's injuries of any kind. We're probably the best in the world by far. But where it's systemic problems, where you have malfunctioning organs and so on, their interest is in treatment, and that goes on forever. So that's my two cents.
Well, I think that's, in general, it's true that the whole medical pharmaceutical industry runs on profit motivation. And decisions are made in terms of laws based on profit rather than compassion and survival.
Right.
So we have a system that is virtually fairly uncompassionate to the human need for survival and how to afford it.
Well, Wynn, this is really interesting because this brings up, could it be possible that a system like that is in place because it is a catalyst for people to develop new systems and new ways of doing things? So, for example, when you can't afford the healthcare, then people start developing compassion and start to do things like Reiki healing, because it's a way for an individual to express the Christ consciousness and to fall in line with the way that the universe is made up. And since we have free will and free choice, we have these various catalysts to create enough distress and tension so that people eventually they will say, well, we have to do something. So we will do the healing ourselves. Because if you are not able to get any healthcare and you're watching your friends suffer, you think, right, I'm going to try something alternative with the best and greatest intentions for that individual. And so you start exercising a different form of healing.
Okay. Now, do we have another opinion? Let's see if there's another opinion out there from somebody on this. Anybody have an opinion on this topic?
The dog has an opinion. Can anyone translate? Can anyone translate bark?
I have an opinion, okay?
And what? What's that?
My opinion is that the solution, the major solution to the problem, is to eliminate patents on drugs.
Well, that
medical
would,
and medical procedures. Now, the downside of that would be, would it eliminate research, critical research, to find solutions to problems? That's one perspective. Or would it allow competition to create the best products without regard to profit?
I think we need more things that are open source. Open source is when a community of individuals who have those skills, they come in to a project and they, you know, in terms of software, they help to develop the project for the benefit of the software that's available to everybody for free.
Well, if we're talking about drugs are not software. That's a different.
But you could apply the same concept. So if you had people that were specialists in those areas that came in and offered their service and their knowledge and worked on these things, then we would be expressing the Christ consciousness. And if it happened in the US, then I would then say, yes, the US is following in the Christ consciousness and the law of one. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If people actually, with those skills, came in and said, I have this skill and I want to dedicate 5 hours of my time or 3 hours of my time a week or however many. And then start to develop the medicines, the technologies that are needed to help humanity.
All right.
I'm just looking it up. Insulin was given to the world, the University of Toronto. It was donated, was invented in Canada. It was from public research.
Mm-hmm.
World. So, I mean, they're doing it right now. You weren't on the call, Wynn, but the government's given the University of Toronto immunotherapy research, and they're curing my half brother's cancer with it. There's no treat. The cancer keeps coming back, and they've now discovered the right combination of immunotherapy. I mean, I think it has drugs involved, but it's done free with free research in Canada and the government, and they're curing his cancer that hasn't been cured before. Their body's actually, it's training the body to fight the cancer from regrowing, and it's working.
Amazing.
This is public funding. I mean, and insulin, look at that. That was given. And then if it was an American company invented that, that would have been, you know, and I see even now with the insulin in the U.S., companies are controlling it through the roof. People can't afford, if you're diabetic in the U.S., can't afford to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree with that. Yeah.
You are aware, is everyone aware that Stanislaw Brzezinski has found a cure for all cancer?
Yes.
I believe that, yeah.
He's in, I think, Houston, Texas, I think?
Yes.
I think. That's right.
Yeah.
You can look up his name and you can find his website. So I'm not going to put it out there because it may be unsafe to say his website or something. So we'll just say look up.
Well, the FDA declared war on Brzezinski. He fought for 20 years in courts.
Oh, more than 20. It's 76, I think. He found the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's going to put all the cancer treatment companies out of business. they put him out of business.
For some reason, he was allowed to live. I don't know why, but he was allowed to live, maybe. But,
all about money.
Yeah, Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. They wanted to put them out of business because they were going to put the entire medical industry out of business, or the cancer industry at least.
I often wonder though, the money wasn't spent on cancer, be spent on something else, anyways. People don't eat
the money.
Yeah, that makes the most money. Cancer is, and heart disease too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very interesting topic, but I'm wondering, will we be having a replay?
Oh yeah, oh wow.
When?
Yes.
Great.
Will we be having? Yeah. It'll get posted as a replay. Yeah.
Great.
It'll be on the Spirit Channel. You know, the real, you know, like if you look at the fundamental questions here, do you reward people for coming up with good solutions? Or do you make all the solutions public access so that no one is denied a solution?
But right now, those people aren't being rewarded because their stuff is being taken for national security. So they're not benefiting, and neither is anybody else. They have to release it. They have to release it, all of the details, so that people can create it. It's the only way.
Now, it would be nice if there was a world government that could pass laws that would allow this kind of research to go on for the highest good without creating so much attachment to personal accomplishment and rewarding personal accomplishment.
I think a lot of people have been keeping it secret because they want to benefit from it financially.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not benefiting from it because it's being withheld, it's being stopped in its progress.
Well,
they have to release it for free.
You know, when I was in those positions in my past lifetimes, I know one example was I invented the lightning rod, and I never did a patent on it, and I turned it over to the world so that everybody could use it without infringing. Pardon me?
Lunch?
Well, lunch is here. Yes, please. Yes. I'm having lunch delivered.
Okay.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, I'm in a rehab home, and I'm not sure the reason why, but I'm putting up with it. Okay.
Well, who put you in there?
Huh?
How did you get in there? Who put you there?
Well, it had to do with one day I was leaving my house, and I decided to walk into the city of Sedona, which was down a big hill.
Oh.
And I fell. And it didn't feel serious or anything. But they took me to emergency. And apparently, I had a small blood cell that was leaking in my brain.
Oh,
and that was That was a notice for panic on their part. And so they put me in the hospital to monitor it and do tests on it. And they finally, after a few days, they said, well, it looks okay. But they decided that it needed to be observed some more in order to be sure it was safe for me to be a free man again.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm locked up in a rehab home.
Oh,
it's very interesting.
I see.
You know, what's happening is I have been sharing my video with various people here, and there's this buzz going around the rehab home that there's this really weird guy here.
With this big nose that looks like Ben Franklin.
And then people are walking up to me and saying, I heard about your video. Which is very interesting. So we'll see what happens. It's creating a little bit of a buzz.
There's always a good reason for an injury then, eh?
Free advertising. All
that's just free advertising. A negative thing into a positive thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Free advertising, Lynn. That's it.
now, like something else in Philadelphia was a revolution. I don't know if you guys know this, but Ben started the first insurance company. He started the first library. He started the first university. And he always did it nonprofit, like just to do it, to be of service to the community, which was very interesting. And I think there were other things he did as well of that nature, you know? Mm-hmm. So, in any case, you know, the best way to make something happen is for people to take personal initiative to make it happen in the way they want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, anyone can say, I'm not going to patent something, and turn it into a product that is going to benefit humankind rather than their personal advantage. And then you take songs, similar thing. I remember Stevie Wonder didn't copyright We Are the World. And he wanted the profits from it to be used for some charitable purpose. So it's a dilemma of how do you encourage creativity and personal achievement without creating a profit motivation? And how do you create a profit motivation without things being self-serving, you know, and not being used for
Gwyn, check your microphone. You're muffled. Gwyn? Your microphone is muffled.
The same thing happened the other night, and we were all yelling at him, and he couldn't hear us.
Maybe if I be talking to an attendant.
See if I text him, it'll help.
Yeah, no.
No, this is the same thing that happened the other night. He can't hear us. He doesn't know that we can't hear him. He just went on and on and on the other night. He had no idea that we couldn't hear him.
I wonder if the microphone, the connect cable goes bad or something. I wonder.
I think his battery goes dead or something on his equipment or something. I don't know.
When did he get injured? Did he say? He didn't really say, did he? Or
when did who get injured?
When did you? When did you?
You're back.
You're back. When did you? Hospital. Going to the rehab. A week ago. 2 weeks ago.
Well, you know, I went to first to emergency, and then I went to the hospital in Cottonwood.
Okay.
And then they flew me by helicopter to the hospital in Flagstaff.
Okay.
And then they released me to the rehab. So it was about 2 weeks in hospitals. And then rehab.
Wow, and it's interesting. Had no idea.
It's interesting. This is the same rehab that Kerry was in before they sent her home. Now nobody remembers her. But they're remembering me because of the movie, which is, you know, I don't know how far the buzz will keep going, but it's creating a buzz. And strangers say hello to me very warmly who watched the movie, you know?
What about the medical staff? They looked at it too, you think, or the workers there?
Well, there's a lot of nurses. There's not that many doctors, okay? I mean, there's one doctor that is in charge of all the residents. And there's about 150 residents, you know? And it's not meant to be a hospital.
Okay.
They don't charge enough for it to be a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
But they monitor people. Like, they take my blood pressure every day. They do my vitals. They check my weight every day. And they keep records of it to see if anything is changing and if something is getting worse. And, you know, the original idea was there was this minor bleed in my brain, which I don't think amounted to anything, nothing. And, but they used that as the excuse to send me here.
Was it to do with the fall? Did you hit your head when you fell?
I hit my head. I had 5 stitches in my head.
Oh.
But I'm okay. I mean, there's no residual symptoms that have showed up so far. Except a few bumps on the side of my head and some stitches. But
well, it sounds pretty bad, but
well, it would have been bad if something happened in my brain with that leaky blood vessel. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Okay? And at this point now, it's beyond the point of where it would happen, I think. But I'm still here. think they're on the.
That's the main thing.
I think they're on the verge of releasing me in the next few days. And
you're meeting all kinds.
What's that?
Meeting all kinds of people there, though, which is good. You're spreading the word.
Yeah, I'm meeting people. And
good.
You know, you never know what happens when you're meeting people, because it creates synchronicities. And you never know where something is going to go and how far it'll go. And it's exactly the kind of circumstances that synchronicities occur and that anything can happen. So we just have to see.
You're a celebrity now, then. They might, you know, you might have to hide from all the cameras and stuff.
Maybe I should take a look at you after the call.
Okay. You want to look at my brain, you mean?
I think I better take a look at you. So I'll send you an invite after the Sunday call.
Okay.
John?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be there.
You can
also,
that's good.
Also, Gloria Fernandez needs a healing too afterward.
Well, we're just going to do Wynn today, I think.
All right, well,
if you don't know how long the session will go on for.
All right, well, all right. Because she needed one too, because that's why her daughter was on the call right now.
Okay, but we can't do two big sessions in one day.
Oh, hello, this
You'll
is
have
Joni.
To wait.
That's okay. Wait, I...
Well,
hi, Joni.
Joni.
Hi. I'm just really enjoying the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. What we'll do is we'll get John to do a mini healing on your mum. And then we'll take a look at her in the week.
Yeah, this is
We've had quite a few emergency healings to do.
Of course, and you did that for my mom the other week, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'm gonna mute myself, but I've been listening. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I had a very strange experience last night, and I can't figure it out. I was dreaming that I was not in this rehab place, and that I was moved somewhere else, and at some point, I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I said, geez, I'm still in the rehab place. What's going on? Because I didn't think I was here. So I don't know the meaning of that. I know where I thought I was. I was like...
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't know where it is. Somewhere near Richmond, California, which was... Terry and I were driving, I believe, from L.A. I think from L.A. I don't even remember where. Back to Sedona. And we spent a night in this funny little town in Richmond, California. And for some reason, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was sure I was in that town. And I was not in the rehab home.
You were traveling.
So, Cesar, can you explain it?
You went for a little trip in your sleep. Your spirit body went for a little trip.
Mm-hmm.
And you're first exploring that location for some reason.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I remember when we traveled through it. Mm-hmm. And we spent the night there. And it was, I liked it. It was like an unusual location. And I kind of am attracted to unusual locations. And it was a very little town with a little bakery. We went to the bakery, and I said to myself, "Geez, I might like to live in this town." You know, it had very small town vibrations to it. And it was on the outskirts of Berkeley and San Francisco. We spent the night in a hotel. And I was sure I was in that town while I was sleeping.
Hey, Wynn, do you think, this is Stacey, sweetie, hi, do you think there's some interdimensional portals there that are like a little thinner that you could go more into the veil? And because I know you're undergoing a field of like deepening your interdimensional body, and your light body is getting stronger, so you're re-acculating the connections with your light body so you can do more work in the world. Maybe that place has interdimensional portals where you can, you know, feel and sense what it is to be still in body but in the light body, so you can do more work here on the planet in your interdimensional bodies.
Well, I certainly would not exclude that as being an explanation. But I'm not going to say that's what's happening because I don't have enough data, evidence to support that, you know, but it could have been. That was Stacy Henschel that was commenting. And
hi, Stacy.
Stacy is an awesome healer. We have some of the most awesome people on this call, and Stacy's one of them. Cedia's one of them. Lots of you are one of them, and I feel quite honored.
And you're one of them, Wynn. You're one of them.
Well, I'm the one that created, on some level, I created the assembly of these people, you know?
And everyone here is one of them.
Right. And if you keep coming to the calls, I would say there's a good chance you're coming because you come to the conclusion that these calls are creating a great benefit for the planet and for people that find them, and that you're supporting them because you realize that. And it takes a lot to realize something like that, okay? Because we don't get public commendations, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful, Wynn. And Wynn, I have a question for you, sweetheart. I know you talked about you like that place, and how did you feel, like, in your body and your heart and your soul, either when you were there with Terry or when you were there in your dream, you mm-hmm. know, felt like you were in your dream state? How did it feel for you? What? How did your heart feel? How did your soul feel? How did your body feel? What were you present to? What was the visceral experience?
When Terry and I were here,
yeah.
I really liked it. I just remember, you know, it was kind of exciting because I like little, how do I describe it? It was an off-the-wall place. It was like, it didn't belong anywhere. It had a vibe, like a little small town where there was a lot of affinity amongst the people in the town. And there weren't many people. It's not like there were a lot of people, hardly anybody. And when I was here by myself, I kept thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? What am I doing here?
No, stop barking. Stop it. Stop it.
Robin, mute yourself. Robin.
Now, is that dog wondering what are they doing wherever they are?
It's probably barking at people.
Because when I thought of be quiet! You're interrupting me. This is not your call.
To mute them, Wynn. You've gone on the console.
Look for the mute button for the dog. He must have a mute button on there somewhere.
Maybe. No. Thank you. The nurse is coming in. I'm wondering if I'm all done. With lunch.
Now,
is that Willow's dog?
No, it's Robin.
Is Robin's dog?
Yes. Dog.
Hi, Robin.
I think she's muted herself.
That's the whole reason you were trying to help me. Because you thought if you didn't, you were going to get caught.
Hey, Wynn. Do you have a mute button? Can you mute the other outside callers? Can you mute everybody?
I would if I was on the console, but I'm not on the console.
Is Terry Marie know how to do it, or Shirley?
Hang on.
Terry Marie, you on the console?
Does she know how to, or Shirley, or is Jackie or Bonnie how to do it? Or Cecil?
I think Wynn will... mute them.
Hang on, we almost got it.
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
We'll show those dogs who's in control here. Now, if you want to say something, you might have to do star six, because everyone's muted.
When I was just curious if you felt like in your body, like your beingness felt like that's like part of your kind of your energies or part of your collective, you know, consolidation of beings that resonated the same vibe that you resonated at, had a similar coherent vibration, like was there like a vibration that felt like home to you, not like in a home, but like you were at home, like your heart and your soul were at home, you were vibrating with these other beings at a similar rate of speed, like there was a coherent frequency in this field, in this place, that you just felt more at one-ment or one more at home-ment. So what's being spoken, how does that feel for you? How does that resonate with you?
Well, I would say that that would be true. But it was a very weird feeling because I really felt like I was in that little town of Richmond, and I said, how did I get out of the rehab home? And I wasn't out of the rehab home. I was still in the rehab home. But I kept trying to convince myself I was in the rehab home. And I don't know the answer. It was a strange place to experience myself being in the rehab home and being in this little city of Richmond. And I could pick details out of the city that I remembered when we were there. I could remember being on the street and seeing somebody who was going into a little office somewhere. And I didn't remember how I remembered, you know? But I did remember. And it seemed very real that I was there. But I wasn't. And then in the morning, you know what they do here is they walk around and they wake everybody up and they say, breakfast is ready. They do it one room at a time, so they don't go wake up everybody. And somebody knocked on my door at 7 a.m. and said, breakfast is ready. And I kept waking up thinking I was in Richmond, in that little city. And I remember we were driving back, and we drove through Berkeley, and we were driving through the freeways, and I could recreate being on the freeway on the way back to Berkeley. But it was a strange experience.
Yeah, and I think when, you know, I know you talk about this, the invitation is when we have these opportunities, as a suggestion, if it feels right for people, to keep going back to the visceral feeling. And Because what we're working on here is, you know, we talk about the field of oneness, is creating a deeper coherence in our body. And when we feel like we're at home in a place, or at home with somebody that we love, or at home with an environment, to really, you know, breathe that in, to really feel that sensation and inform the physical, mental, emotional, you know, and of course spiritual body, hey, this feels like home. And to recall that in the body, so we can bring that feeling more to our day-to-day lives, you know, in this 3D world, whatever, but to feel the coherence. Because when we're in a coherence, our heart, our mental, emotional, they're all in alignment. It feels beautiful. It sounds like you were in a coherent field and you were home. But when we're out of coherence, that's when our body's out of coherence. We're upset, we're agitated, we're irritated, angry, life isn't fair. So it's like re-practicing coherency, which is oneness, which is when we're working on with the calls with the Elohim and the Ra group, how to keep accessing that feeling of oneness. And the more they say 51% service, 51% heart open. And then when the heart's open, we're in service, we're in coherence. So it feels like it was a download to keep, I mean, this is, again, my interpretation, that you were reorganizing the alignment of the body and re-remembering a particular place that created that frequency, just like a song can do that, so that mm-hmm. you could training your body to keep healing. Because when we're in a state of coherence, we're healing. When we're in mm-hmm. fight, flight, freeze, we're out of coherence and we're trying to survive in the body. And then how do we keep coming back to coherence, back to those frequencies of alignment and heart? So I think that's a beautiful thing to capture that and keep breathing in that experience of what that is for you, if that nurtures you, and to keep, you know, resting in that as home so the body can continue to heal, like, oh, spirit or your higher self took you there to help you recall. And they also call this the Ka body. You know, they call it the Ka body when Christ or whoever would leave their physical and go into the Ka body. Or the masters of the Far East, they would bilocate to the Ka body. Those are a couple examples of that we can do that. But I think
isn't the Ka body an Egyptian terminology?
When I ask, I get it is. I just asked it. I just tapping into the, you know, I asked Elohim. It feels like it is. And the Hathors, I think maybe the Hathors talked about it also. If you're familiar with the Hathors,
I'm familiar with them. Yeah,
Tom Kenyon's work. You guys.
Almost. You don't want me to eat this, do you?
Huh?
What's your name?
Karen.
Karen?
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I'm on a conference call. All these people are listening to you.
Hi, Karen.
Now they're all saying hello to you. You want to hear them?
No, it's okay.
You're embarrassed now. Okay.
Hi, Karen.
Stacy.
Thank you.
Stacy?
Yeah.
I was thinking, let me see who's on the call.
Is Terry Marie really there? Is Karen?
Terry Marie. Is Terry Marie, are you on the call? 2-6 if you are. Let's see. Well, let me ask you. Let's see if we can bring Carrie in, and if she can shed some light on this that goes beyond what we're being able to see. Is that okay with you, Stacy?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're the only one on the call that can do this, so...
Oh, Shirley's not here. Okay.
Yeah, Shirley's not here. Okay. So, Kelly, are you present? Calling
yes.
Carrie Louise Brown.
Yeah, she's present. She's with us. She's here, Wynn.
Carrie, were you on that adventure with me last night while I was sleeping?
So originally she was when, you know, you had the venture way back when, but I'm getting a no that this was your adventure. You were there.
So she remembers when we were in that town, right?
Yes, she does, but she said that you went there. She didn't. She mm-hmm. she was watching you. So from mm-hmm. she was like observing you in that altered or dreamlike state.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't there with you, but she was observing you. I can see her kind of, her field kind of, she's keeping an eye on you when she watches over you. I can feel her auric field or her translucent body kind of way above yours, and kind of she's keeping an eye on you and all the activities. But she wasn't there, but she said you were there.
Now, was there a reason why I was having this experience?
She's saying there wasn't like a reason, but she's saying that you're asking for, well, you can call this a reason, but your higher self is asking for more affirmation of, I guess directly, indirectly is the reason, more affirmation of what it is to live more, you know, in a higher state of consciousness on this planet, like how to, like what that's like, how to access that higher state, how to navigate between these worlds,
mm-hmm.
how to tap into those, you know, higher dimensional frequencies that we all have access to, and to rest in that, and
mm-hmm.
to remember that. And when we have these, we want to call them out of body or enlightened experience, it helps us to sustain it in the body and the visceral systems and reinform the body of a higher truth. You know, that we are
mm-hmm.
all connected to source and that we're safe. And that we're loved, and that we're held, you know, in that field. And then when we're safe and held and loved, we can do more of our work here. We can relax more and, you know, be in the world, but not of the world. And emanate that love that you've been emanating at the place you're at, and helping others awaken into that love of oneness and safety and care. And that place emanated that field, like when Stacy was talking, that field, that coherent field of that oneness and truth. So the more each of us do that on the call the best we can and feel when we have that place of home or the happy space or the happy spot, or when we talk to little kids, you know, we say, okay, go to your happy place, you know, or even mm-hmm. adults, or your peaceful place, you know, with adults. Where's your place of peace? And learn to cultivate that. You know, the Ra group referred to this, the Elohim, you know, to cultivate that energy, cultivate that field of oneness and of love, and feel it more and more and more, and have our attention on that versus on all the stuff of the world, and then mm-hmm. raise the vibration of the planet and spend more time, she's saying, more time with the trees, more time with the animals, more time with the plants, with the sun, with the moon, with the stars, and, you know, listen to them and, you know, listen etherically or feel etherically that energy or these places that you went to that felt coherently like home, and to keep accessing that.
Did my astral body actually go to that city, or was I mocking it up in my imagination?
It feels like you were there more in a trance state, you know, not that actual body, but there was an aspect of you that traveled there, kind of like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
So you were there in more than, they're saying, more of an astral state or an illuminate state, not in a actual state. So you were mm-hmm. still at the rest home, and you were in another state, like we say, you know, we go into alternate, we can go into alternate dimensions or realities, but you went into another state where you could access that more of an astral state, like a travel state, similar to kind of like the Ka body, but I know the Ka body can actually go and land there. But it was like more of an astral state that was being recognized and remembered, and kind of like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's movies on time travel, but it was kind of like that where it feels like you were reaccessing some knowledge that you wanted to gain. Kind of like if there's inside those places, there's templates of knowledge that are written underneath the earth or in the ether field of that place. So templates mm-hmm. of knowledge, and you wanted to go and you were kind of like investigating and you wanted to access more of that knowledge of that particular location. And so you went there to explore. You're an eager explorer. She's saying you're an eager explorer, Wynn, and you love exploring places, and so it had you kind of get more knowledge and information that you're here, you know, in your future books and bringing to the planet and your future conversations to assist you and assist the world and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say, you know, others can, if there's a place they know that they feel has sacred energy to it, you can go there and meditate and ask to receive more knowledge. You know, many of you are in England and London. There's a lot of sacred places there that you can go to. And there's places in the States too, but a lot mm-hmm. in England that access these places and, you know, to do that as a practice and see what, and you don't need to get words. It's just, it's more of a being, it's beyond words. It's a vibration. And to, when the body's in that higher vibration, then we access higher knowledge naturally. So we don't have to go and study it. It's just, it's cultivating this higher vibration. And the Ra is, Ra people, they're saying they're very much for us doing this. And of course the Elohim, that's what they want us, the Wild Group is coming strong. They want us to keep practicing that, cultivating, you know, of course, along with us. You
know. I know in the past week or so, 2 weeks, while I've been in this rehab home, I would wake up in the morning and I was unusually in an exalted space, like I was in a blissful space. And I could just hold that energy and stay there for quite some time, which surprised me because it's not my usual occurrence. And of course, I've read about it, you know, of that exalted state and being in bliss. But I was actually there holding that space. But I was not in a different location. I was in my bed, and I was very aware that I was in my body in my bed at the rehab place. And I felt like when I was holding the blissful space, that I was having a healing happening simultaneously in my body. And does that make any sense, Stacey?
Yeah, and I was talking to Terry, absolutely. And that's what kind of our earthly training is about. Like, how do we cultivate that blissful space and stay there? And sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. And that's exactly, Terry's agreeing, and she's, looks like she's downloading more, you know, her intention is to hold you in that and hold everybody, all of us in that state. You know, and so then we can have it in the cells, in the DNA, in the, you know, from the etheric table of the primal elements of all of life. And, you know, in the templates of all of life, so that we can cultivate that. And that's really the higher work, is how do we cultivate that and continue doing our best, you know, being on the calls, doing our yoga, our meditations, our chanting, our singing, our dancing, our art, our loving, and how, you know, when we're loving, it. So it's beautiful that you're doing that, and that they say, you know, I'm getting that she's saying it's going to happen more and more for you, because you've been requesting it. And your body is ready for it, and you've been prepared more for it.
Mm-hmm.
As other people on this call are also, which we've been doing for our, you know, our lifetimes, but we forget and remember.
So, let me ask people the question. How many of you relate to this idea of being in a more blissful state in your normal life?
Yes, I do. I've had exactly the same sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when those sensations happen, I'm very close to getting a download of information, mm-hmm. and then I get a big download. And sometimes if I watch a certain video, I can get that same feeling.
Mm-hmm. Get triggered.
Yes, being in a blissful state.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, if I'm thinking about something that is to do with the Christ consciousness, then I feel that state. And I feel it, it's becoming
more and more, it's on and off. And it can be brought on by thoughts. And I think your dreams are very important when you're in your dream state, because your body does travel. Your spirit body does travel in your dream state. And one of the downloads that I received, which was triggered by a dream, and I can tell you a very small part of the dream, because it has something to do with this conversation. In my dream, I saw a tortoise, a pregnant tortoise. And there was such an immense, loving vibration that was coming from it. It was beautiful. And I was in the bliss state in my dream. And now whenever I think of that image and the memory, it brings on the same blissful sensation. But your dreams are important, because one of the downloads I received was that your body, which is conscious, you have many conscious elements within your body. Your body will talk to you through your dreams. It's one of the ways that your body tries to get your attention. So dreams can come in many different forms, and it's a mechanism for communication between your mind and your body, as well as through other means.
I'm just curious, has anyone else experienced this ability to go into a blissful state consciously? Maybe I should unmute everybody. Hang on a second.
Did you unmute them?
No, I'm trying to figure out how to do it. Here we go. I know. I'll do it on my phone.
All participants are muted. All participants are unmuted.
All right, everybody's unmuted now. Any comments?
Time to read the healing list.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make a suggestion. Between now and next week, I want you guys to see if you can find moments where you can move into bliss at will. When you're in a relaxed state, laying in bed or sitting in a chair, and see if you can do that, okay? And on that note, hang on.
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And when you might want to add for everybody, if you have any experience of that state of bliss or exaltation, to see if you can recall it. And also, it can you can also, you know, do a meditation first or do some yoga or be out in nature. So you can, it will help you access that. You know, it can be spontaneous, but you can also be, hold the intention and breathe that in and feel that to assist you in that process, just to make it a little bit easier or, you know, whatever opens your heart or being around a small child or animal. And then that can, you know, when you're around something, a memory or someone, that can also help have you access it. And I know we're going to move to the healing. So thank you.
Okay. Well, my experience is that when I move into that space, I can direct it in my body. And it feels like when I'm succeeding in directing it, I'm also succeeding in doing some healing in my own body for myself. And sometimes I can direct it into someone else's body. And it feels like I become part of their healing process. And you can experiment and see if you can duplicate any of those experiences. And on that note, we're going to do the healing list now. And Sija, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Is the list open?
It is. I am ready.
And so we have Stacy make comments.
Yes.
On people.
That, yeah. If Stacy would like to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Stacy, would you like to do that?
I would, but I'm just concerned about the timing, you guys. I just wanted to honor people's timing, so I just didn't want to, you know, if people want that, I'm totally willing. And I also want to be aware of what time it is, so I just thought.
Well, we can go a little longer. We can go a little longer. We usually do that on the healing list anyway.
Okay, and, just as long as it works for the people and everybody here. I just
and if you're on BBS Radio, we're going to cut out. So thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed our conversation, we hope you'll come back again. And have
not
more.
Not too long, though, Wynn. Because we've got a big healing session to do.
Okay.
So not too many, long.
How many sessions do we have?
We've got 5 people on the healing list, 5 requests, but a few of the requests have more than one person in it.
Like John.
So
right.
Yes. So maybe. Maybe it'd be better for Stacy to comment next week so that we can be quick, because I would rather, you know, keep time down so that we can go straight to the healing session for you.
Well, we're going to go. If we do the healing session, if you're going to do a healing session for me.
Oh, when's it at night? We were going to do it. Was there another session? I mean, the one I do with him is at night. Are you talking about with me or somebody else?
Well, I was talking about one after the Sunday call, after this call. But when, you know, the more healing sessions he has, the better.
Oh, so someone else is going to do a healing session with him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay beautiful. Yeah, that you guys do that. Yeah,
after we're this doing call. One tonight. Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
Oh, that's good. Good. Oh, well, that's good.
Who's doing that, sweetheart?
Oh, I'm doing it.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay, great. Okay, lovely. Thank you.
But the more sessions that Wynn has at the moment, the better.
Yeah. No, that's lovely. Thank you for doing that. Thank you so much, Sija.
Okay. Oh, and thank you. And how many do you do, Stacy?
Oh, we do 3. We're going to do one tonight. We do it 3 times a week.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, should we do the healing list?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. when they do a healing call for me, and if you're on the call, people are reporting, and I think this is true, that the healing energy rubs off on everybody that's on the call, aside from me. So there's a benefit for being on those calls.